Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast, where we take a good article and make it gooder.
Okay, Brandon, it is Faith Friday. I debated lowering my voice. I know that you like that I do that.
I do.
On
I do.
The God Talks.
It's like a jazz show, a late night jazz show.
Coming up, Herbie Hancock with his hit. I will always love.
Was that Johnny Fever from WKRP in Cincinnati? Anyway.
Booger.
Right.
We're not supposed to say that on a Faithful Friday. We're going through a series called Detachment. In fact, the Center for Action and Contemplation is going through a series called Detachment. Today's title is Don't Make Much of It. I'm going to read just a smidge, and then we'll get on to it. This is from Master Eckhart, a sermon on Luke. In whatever state we may find ourselves, whether in strength or weakness, in joy or sorrow, to whatever we may feel attached, we must renounce it. Goes on to say, do not become attached. If you're in sorrow and utter loss, don't become attached to the experience of yourself in moments of utter loss. Rather be detached from your loss. It's real, but know that the loss doesn't have the authority to name who you are. Likewise, in a moment of joy, like real joy over something, be joyful, but be detached from your joy. Because the joy is infinite, the joy is passing away. Enjoy it, but realize that compared to the eternal joy, the joy that death does not have the power to destroy, this joy that you're experiencing is fleeting. All right, Brandon, let's detach.
This is a tough one, man. I feel like this one is just straight out 100% hardcore, you know, on it just touches so many nerves for me and for a lot of people. I was meeting with some guys and they were talking, and all these guys were talking about like the ups and downs of life and struggles. And I was like, it's all universal. We all struggle. Sometimes it's this, sometimes we have highs, sometimes we have lows, but we all struggle. And I think that this is going to sound weird and you're going to make fun of me, and that's okay because I'm detached from you, Larry. But I have struggled with my fandom and my and being a sports fan. I have some teams. I root for them. I've historically been very, very passionate about it. So when they win, it's amazing. And when they lose, it's the worst thing that ever happened. It destroys me. I'm crushed by it. It's so unhealthy. I know it's unhealthy. I hate it about myself. I truly do. So what I've done is sort of detached from it, where I don't watch pretty much anything live anymore. I don't get as much joy from the victory, but I don't get anywhere near as much pain from the loss. And I know that's a kind of a cop-out, and it's sort of not what this is really saying. And by the way, the main part of this article is James Finley, who was a priest before he became a writer and a psychotherapist. He actually studied under the great Thomas Merton. And in this, he says, Finley offered a wisdom he learned from Thomas Merton, who was his novice master when Finley was a young monk. Often when I'd go see Thomas Merton for spiritual direction, he'd say, how's it going? And I'd say, I'm doing well. And he'd say, don't make much of it. It'll get worse. And on one hand, you look at that and you say, wow, dude, that's depressing. But on the other hand, what he's really saying is that, hey, man, if it's bad, it's going to be good. If it's good, it's going to be bad. Don't get caught up. Don't let that define you. I appreciate that.
My only pushback on this one is, if you're not really experiencing what's going on, then you're not present in the moment and you're not experiencing it, right? Like he talked about joy. Like when something's going really well, you're supposed to just sit and enjoy it and be appreciative of it. And conversely, if someone dies or you're going through grief, if you don't fully experience the grief, then you don't ever fully experience it. You can't get past it. So I'm sure there's some line in there that I'm missing.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying. I think those are two different things, actually. One is sort of this idea of death to your ego and simply saying that, let's take grief, because grief is a tough one. We don't like to grieve, and it's really hard. But I think it's almost the inverse, because what we're saying when we push past grief and we say, I'm not going to deal with this, in a sense, what we're doing is we are allowing our ego to take over and say, I want to protect that at all cost, as opposed to saying, I am going to allow myself to grieve. I'm going to sit Shiva for a year, and I'm going to grieve. It's allowing your, in a sense, removing your ego from the conversation and allowing your spirit to heal. I think that's what this is talking about. It's a separation of your spirit from your ego. It's simply saying, look, the wholeness of your spirit has nothing to do with you, whether you're happy or you're sad, whether your ego is up or whether it's down, you had a good day, bad day. The wholeness of your spirit is eternal. It's not affected by, if you don't allow it to be affected by those things, it will not be affected by those things. And it's obviously a constant struggle. It's not like you just all of a sudden become a robot and you don't feel these things. Of course you feel these things. But I think that's the practice and the discipline that we're working on, is trying to figure out ways to say, that's going to happen. It's happened before and it'll happen again. I remember this great, I read this article one time about this dude that went into the Amazon with this native, he was an anthropologist, and he went in with some Amazonian, indigenous Amazonians who lived, you know, the deep jungle, right? And he went with them, and they had these things where, like, they didn't believe in ownership of material. So, like, they'd come up to you and, like, hey, I'd like your watch. And you kind of have to give it to them because it's just, there wasn't any ownership.
You're in the jungle.
I guess that was just their culture. But what's really interesting, that's the point, is that they were out and they were on a hunting party, and they'd been out for like a day or two, and he didn't really speak the language well, but he kind of knew that there was something up. So he kind of went to the leader and he said, you know, what's going on? The leader said, well, we're lost. He said, what do you mean you're lost? He said, we're lost. We don't know where we are. And he says, well, what happens if we can't find our way out of here? The leader was like, well, then we'll die. Like, very matter of fact, like, that's just the way it was. And you have to accept it, is you, if you're lost, you keep going until you're found or you die. And I was like, wow, that was always struck me as very profound, that you could accept that was just the reality of your life. Instead of saying, oh, what, freaking out, losing your mind. It's like they had gone through all the levels of grief without ever having to go through the levels of grief, if that makes sense. They had accepted, and you talked about it on our last show last week, about this idea of a daily death to self, that we die to ourselves and we accept our death. It's in front of us. It's going to happen. And when we could do that, that's when we're going to find peace in our life.
Yeah. I feel like kind of connected to this one. We were talking about detachment as well. And it was like something about like giving, like not letting your desires have a hold on you. Like,
yeah,
letting go of your desires.
Well, that's Buddhism. That's Buddhism for sure. Buddhism talks about the idea of the Eightfold Path and the Four Noble Truths. That's what it means.
But, you know, there's something that comes up that gnaws at you, like something mm-hmm. comes up in your life. You just can't let that thought go. And I'm wondering if it's like that. I mean, we're on the parallel track with detachment. Like, you just got to, how do you just let that thought that's gnawing at you just go away? Float down the rivers.
I think that's the discipline. I think that's the discipline of saying, if you're already dead, then death has no power over you. In a sense of, if you've accepted the fact that that is the reality and that it's going to happen and that it's okay and you can't control when it happens, you can only do the best you can, then you can move on from it. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying that's the discipline. That's why monks go and practice this eternal prayer discipline. That's why people practice these faiths that require discipline. I mean, in a sense, in America, what we really ultimately want is the magic pill. That's just going to make everything better. And that is the enemy of the soul right there. That very idea that if I just do X, everything will be better. Well, guess what? When your team wins the national championship or the World Series or the NBA championship, you know what? Next year, they're going to come back and they're not going to be good because they had to get rid of all their players. And then you're like, oh, my team's terrible again. Like, dude, I have had highs and I have had lows. And now I'm just sort of like, you know, I truly do enjoy watching two teams that I have no ownership in. I enjoy this. I finally learned how to just enjoy the sport. It's fun to just enjoy the action in front of you without worrying about who wins and who loses.
Thank you for taking us into the gutter on Faith Fries talking about sports. It you know, there. This recently came up with Giannis Antetokounmpo. I don't know if you saw this, that the Bucks lost. The top team in the East lost. And some reporter asked Giannis, MVP,
yeah,
arguably one of the best, said something like, do you consider this season a failure because you lost? You're the top-ranked team and you lost. And he's like, well, then everybody else in the NBA that doesn't win the championship is a failure. Michael Jordan won 6 championships, but was he a failure the other 9 seasons that he didn't win it? Like,
yes, that's my exact point. And I loved when Giannis said that. I was like,
yeah,
wow, I hope he's being serious and really means it. Because
I think he was. He said, because he said, there's a process. He literally said, there's a process, and this is a process in it, and am I a failure when I don't win?
Right, and he got injured, which hurt his team. It's like there's nothing you could do about that. I mean, you look at this, and I think that we in America more than anywhere else put this weight and pressure on ourselves to be perfect. We talk about the GOAT all the time, and I know this is not a sports talk show, but we talk about the greatest of all time. I'm like, what does that even mean? If you watch the Warrior game yesterday, Steph Curry, the star point guard for the Warriors, broke the record, right? 50 points in a game 7, and it's all about statistics. I'm like, Steph Curry, someday, 100, 200, 300 years from now, no one's going to know who Steph Curry was, and it won't matter. But right now, it's like we put so much pressure on that. Is Steph Curry a good guy? Is he a bad guy? Is he a good father, good husband? Is he a good citizen? I don't know. But it seems to me that's more important than whether he dropped 50 points in a game 7. But we put so much on that that we don't care about the other stuff. We don't care that person is a good person or a bad person. We only care that they did X. And like Giannis saying, like Giannis is just one guy on a full team. It's not his fault his team didn't win at all. But I guarantee you there are lots of people that think it's his fault.
Yeah, I sort of, when it comes to sports, since we're going Sports Talk Radio on the Faith Fridays, I kind of root for organizations and coaches. Like the thing with the Warriors, right? They play a very fun brand of basketball to watch. Like even if they lose, they passed the ball. It was offensively fun to go at. Same with my soccer team, football team, Liverpool, right? They play high pressing. They pass the ball. It's like they call it heavy metal football. But these teams that just play defense and ugly, and that's the only way they can win. You're like, nobody wins. Even if the team won, you're like, God, I watched that for 90 minutes. That was horrible.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, obviously we're probably getting a little bit off the mark, but I agree with you in the sense that that's part of it is, can you detach yourself and just look at the beauty that's in front of you, right? Can you see the thing that's actually good and not necessarily worry about the thing that's really bad? And I think this idea of detachment is important. It doesn't mean that you don't care about your family or you don't care about your friends or you don't try hard or you don't do the best you can at your job, but recognizing that there are some things that we have no control over and we've got to let that go. Like, just like Gianna said, we got to let it go.
Well, Rohr was the first one that ever said this, that I was like, what? He's saying like, hey, if there's a sunset out there, don't stare at it too long. Stare and move on. But you might get another one the next day. But like, I was like, oh, I was supposed to sit and stare and take in the essence of the sunset. It's like, no, look at it and move on.
Huh. Yeah, that's interesting. I've never heard him say that. And I love
Rohr. Yeah, it was crazy. I was like, wow, that's the exact opposite of the romantic idea of a sunset.
Right, well, the over-romanticization of something like that. So anyway, but Larry, thank you so much for teaching me that you don't have to have a low talking voice to have a good God Friday. And you can't talk about sports because God likes sports too.